Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for being part of our day. Thanks for being for joining us. And thank you for checking out my website, which you've been doing for just this year, especially. I mean, of course, it's, the website has been growing all along, but I can't get over how much you guys are using it these days, especially. We're setting records every month, especially the blog. You guys are really using our blog, and we thank you for that. It's just very exciting to see how that's working out. And which all of that, by the way, is at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Lots of other stuff and lots more to come. Can't wait to tell you about that. And that's coming up real soon. Glenn Upice is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn is a founder of Power Insights International, Incorporated. He is also a guy who's working on something called the Wireless City. He's a CEO of that organization. That's really what he's here to talk to us about today, is the concept of entire metro areas being completely wireless, a whole community, a whole city being a hotspot. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Jim.
Am I right about that?
You are.
Did I overstate it at all there? A whole town, a place like the city of Los Angeles or Sheboygan, Wisconsin or Liberty, Texas, you know, which is basically a crossroad. Those places becoming hotspots?
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting. Over the past 2 years, what we call this municipal wireless movement has built quite a bit of momentum. In fact, there's over 320 cities throughout the United States that are in the process of evaluating and or deploying a wireless network. And
is there a wireless city yet?
Let's put it this way. Are there pockets of cities that are wireless? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, there are. There's St. Cloud, Florida, Tempe, Arizona. You have pockets in Springfield, Illinois, that are starting to become deployed. Several cities throughout Minneapolis, Austin, Texas. And the big issue here, Jim, is that, and it's a good one, is that cities have embraced the use of technology. And they've recognized that there's going to be a tremendous amount of value for their local communities and, in particular, their small business owners once these wireless cities become active. The big issue now is that the service providers and the large service providers have come in, and there are a host of them, and they've essentially said, we will provide you wireless technology in exchange for having territorial rights of your city. Mm-hmm. And the city leaders have taken that and said, wonderful, I'll make my cities wireless, and I'll be able to contribute to the economic development of our city because these networks will allow us to participate in incentive programs through the subscribers that start using the network.
So is it necessary to actually go through the municipalities? Is this similar to cable companies getting permission and getting a franchise to offer cable to a community?
Yeah, it's the same thing. And, you know, the big issue here and the reason why I thought it would be very important for our small business leaders to listen to this is that essentially the movement has really been a very top-down process. City leaders, in many cases, seem to be working mysteriously with these service providers, not engaging nor getting the community or business leaders involved. And, you know, our whole goal is to really help at the Wireless City is to help these city leaders create a roadmap for shaping their communities and the values and cultures and their identity through the effective use of emerging communication technologies, and in this case, wireless technology. Mm-hmm. And how can this go beyond just being a solution to narrow the digital divide, and by offering free and or low-cost internet access. But how can having a wireless city start bringing back that homegrown feeling of communities as we did 15, 20 years ago, when during those days, if you recall, people were able to open up their garage doors and feel safe about where they lived and invite their neighbors
over. But how is wireless going to do that?
Well, in many ways. First of all, first thing a wireless city is going to do, it's going to create safety opportunities for a city. Because, as you know, in 9/11, one of the biggest problems that took place is that the fire, police, and ambulance
right.
didn't have real-time communication
right.
at the point of the attacks, and so it caused delays in the process. But what a wireless city is going to do, it's much like what Windows operating platform did, Jim. It created a platform to allow applications to run off of
it.
I'd like to talk to you about that after the break.
Hold on to that thought, Glenn.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, folks. Glenn Upice is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate is 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. There's Joe Cocker. Still rocking after all these years. 17 till. I think I said that. I'm Jim Blassingame. I don't think I said that. I'm your host. Glenn Upice is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn is he's our wireless city expert. In fact, that's the name of one of your companies, isn't it, Glenn? The Wireless City.
The Wireless City. Yes, it's one
give
of my several ventures.
Give us that website, please.
It's thewirelesscity.org.
Thewirelesscity.org.
Thewirelesscity.org, that's correct.
Okay. Now, that's what we're talking about, folks, is your community becoming wireless. So if I wanted to go out and just put up a tower, I went to an individual, a private individual, and or several, and I wanted to put up towers, I was minding my own business. I just wanted to be in business, and I wanted to start selling subscriptions to this wireless service that I was putting across this town. The municipalities could actually prevent me from doing that, right?
They could, only because what they're trying to do is, much like what happened with the electricity companies, if you recall many years ago, they were selling a territorial rights. And what's happening in a case like this is that many of the wireless networks that are being deployed today, they're privately owned. So
mm-hmm.
they're unlike it being publicly owned by cities where they would have the control of the broadband and the bandwidth, I should say. In this case, much like many electricity companies, it's simply going to be used as a utility. And I think that's
right.
where the disconnect is, because
mm-hmm.
with this kind of power, cities need to really look to find ways to embrace it to engage its cities, its community leaders, and especially its small business leaders. And as I was mentioning before the break, what this is going to look like in the next 3 to 5 years is as follows. This network is simply going to be parallel to what the Windows operating system is, and what the power of the network will eventually become is in the applications that are designed to support that network and that will work.
Give us an example. Give us an example of an application.
Okay. Here, what you'll see throughout cities throughout the United States, Jim, are what are called intranet portals.
Mm-hmm.
And these are going to be proprietary username and password-based portals that will work off of this wireless network. And everyone knows about Google and Yahoo and MSN, and what you'll start seeing are these portals being designed, and these portals are actually going to be what drives the promotion and knowledge base for small businesses. And that's really what the purpose here is for us to get small business owners to start connecting with their local community leaders and with their city leaders so they can become part of this wireless movement. Today the disconnect is that the wireless service providers and the city leaders are the ones creating the agenda. And what our whole movement and purpose is to get community leaders and business leaders involved, because the way this network will be deployed and the way it's designed will clearly have an impact not on the lives of the citizens of the community, but the small business owners as well.
Okay, currently I have DSL brought into my office, and I have computers in this office that are hardwired, and I have computers that are wireless through a router that we've created for our office. So our office is a hotspot.
That's right.
Why would it benefit me as a small business owner to have my city become wireless?
Well, first of all, as a small business owner, as you know, when we leave the office, it's very comfortable to be able to just open up your laptop and have instant communication access. So part of what it's intended to do is allow us to communicate more freely.
Right.
But the power of the network through a portal is going to allow small business owners to interact through the social networking apparatus that these portals will carry. So when they leave their office or their salespeople leave the office, they have real-time communication.
So you're saying that when my limousine picks me up to carry me home every day, I can just flip up my laptop and keep working all the way home in the back of my limousine, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody today can afford the Internet. And
right.
Or a limousine.
Right?
Or a limousine. That's exactly right. So the citywide wireless network will actually create an open hotspot for everybody to enjoy and communicate.
And you're talking about at no charge to the user?
No, well, that's what's being debated right now among cities is, and the service providers, is how much will we end up having to charge the people that use it. The city leaders want it for free, and the service providers still want to charge people. Why? Because that's their revenue base.
Right.
Because what they're doing is they're actually contributing the development of the network for free. They're coming in and they're building out a $5-7 million wireless network.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get
somebody's got to pay for that.
Someone's got to pay for it, and you know that's
well. And also, the city doesn't want to buy it from you, because and I don't think it's a good idea for the city to get into that kind of business, even though they're looking for more revenue too. Everybody's looking for more revenue. The city doesn't need to be doing that because they're not in the wireless business. They need to let people like you who are in the wireless business continue to upgrade the systems.
Well, it's interesting. That's a very good point. And what we're saying is that the city leaders, though they're not into that business, they need to start understanding more of the business, because today technology can't be controlling the identities and values of cities and communities. And by getting small business owners involved in what is turned into a technology project and make it more of a business proposition so that they can benefit from it in the long run, that's what we're promoting, and that's what we're hoping that today's listeners will start engaging with.
Stand by. Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Glenn Upice and I will be right back. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greats of all time as an artist, as a singer, as a musician, as a songwriter. One of my favorites. This particular song is from the Innocent Age album, about 25 or more years old, but it's still a good album. Double album I recommend to you. Glenn Upice is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. And Glenn is the CEO of The Wireless City. Put a .org on that, and you'll find his website, thewirelesscity.org. And Glenn, one of the things I want to clear up for folks is you're not actually in the technology part of this thing. You're in the education and the advancement part of this thing. You actually help municipalities sort through all of the details so that they don't have to be experts all by themselves. You actually consult with municipalities, primarily municipalities, to help them understand the advantages of being wireless and how to go about evaluating the technology companies that can come in.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting, this whole movement, there's a pre-deployment and the post-deployment. The pre-deployment side has to do with evaluating what service provider and equipment manufacturers are going to support the network. The post-deployment side is about, well, once this technology has been deployed and cities become wireless, what do we do with it? What do we do to help foster economic development from within? I mean, that's one of the biggest problems in our country, is how local businesses must start evolving and developing and reshaping their communities from within. And that's part of what we do, because we believe that through the advancements of technology, in this case wireless technology, cities are going to have a chance to rebrand themselves and reposition themselves, because, as you know, businesses are going to cater to those cities that provide them the advancements to help their businesses advance and grow and help promote talent. And the more technologically advanced a city becomes, you'll see that talent will migrate there.
Well, you know, that's exactly right, Glenn. And, you know, there was a time, and there still is to a degree, but there was a time when the first question that anybody who was going to start a business or have a business or build a plant or whatever in a community would the very first question they would ask was, tell us about your road infrastructure.
That's right.
Tell us about your physical infrastructure. Today, I hazard the guess, Glenn, that people, the first question they ask is, tell us about your telecommunications infrastructure.
That's right. It's telecommunications, but what is your digital infrastructure?
Right.
Everything is becoming digital. And
right.
in this digital age of communication and operations, companies want to know what cities have the foundational infrastructure to support digital operations, because people want to get away from as many of the hard assets as possible. And if a network such as a wireless network can provide additional tool for small businesses to prosper, that's where they're going to go. And those are the kind. And if you think about it, and we talked about this before. These digital natives, these Gen X and Y generations, are really changing the landscape of business, and they're going to migrate to those cities that support these technological advances.
What do you say to those people who say, well, look, we already have a cable company who's providing cable access to the Internet. We already have our telephone company, which provides DSL. Why does our city need to be wireless? What do you say to those people?
Well, first of all, to become wireless, like I said, is going to become that foundational platform to support technology on a large scale. I mean, just because you have Internet access, that isn't the end game. The end game is, what are you going to do with that network once it's deployed? What software applications are going to be designed to work off that network? Because at the end of the day, cities are going to become networks.
But you're talking about municipal-type networks, right? You're not talking about for small businesses, for example.
No, if city becomes network, Jim, all the small businesses are going to be able to work off that network. That's what the end game goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there's going to be.
So you're actually talking about like a portal where.
That's
where,
exactly right.
Where if I'm. Somebody's managing this portal for my community, and that becomes my homepage.
Let's say,
and so when I bring up my browser, the first thing I see is all the things that are going on in my community right now.
That's exactly right. In fact, mm-hmm. The Wireless City has designed a portal, and in fact, if our listeners want to see the beginnings of what it's going to look like, you can see it at lsicommunities.com, and LSI is the brand. It's our brand called Lifestyle Inspirations, because what we're trying to do is, through technology and through a portal, is to get communities to start re-engaging and reconnecting, because, again, through technology,
right.
we're going to be able to create, you know, the values and the cultures and the identity systems that we haven't had.
Glenn, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Thanks for bringing us this information.
Oh, you bet. It's going to continue to evolve, and I hope we get to talk about it soon.
We will. I promise. Thank you, Glenn. Okay. See you next time.
Okay, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.